بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، والصلاة والسلام على النبي الهاشمي المدني الأبطحي التهامي السيد البهي السراج المضيء الكوكب الدري صاحب الوقار والسكينة المدفون بالمدينة العبد المؤيد الرسول المسدد المصطفى الأمجد المحمود الأحمد حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The Almighty Allah says in the Holy Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل إن تخفوا ما في صدوركم أو تبدوه يعلمه الله، قل إن تخفوا ما في صدوركم أو تبدوه يعلمه الله، ويعلم ما في السماوات وما في الأرض، ويعلم ما في السماوات وما في الأرض، والله على كل شيء قدير. والله على كل شيء قدير. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات. The respected audience, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In pursuing our efforts to build up ourselves for the grand night of power, so we can be recipients of the blessing of that night, in the many levels, in the many different ways, but in order for us to be true recipients, we need to be individuals who understand and know in whose presence we are on that night. Number one. We need to be individuals that we know who are we addressing on that night. Number two. We need to understand what is it that we are saying when we are supplicating on that night. And if one was to examine the supplications of the night of power, you'll find the supplications revolve around yourself, the I, and the relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal is through examining and through deepening the understanding of the self in relationship to its Lord. So therefore, you find us reading Dua Abi Hamza, which is a total and thorough examination of one's state of heart. It is an in-depth review of where you stand and a complete mirror of oneself. And then, once a person reaches that level, one realizes where he stands, therefore he extends himself supplicating in a thousand ways to Allah Azza wa Jal, seeking خَلِّصْنَا مِنَ النَّارِ يَا رَبِّ. For in the first supplication, he realized where he stands. In Dua Jawshan, he's seeking this saving from Allah Azza wa Jal. And then the closure is with Dua Tawbah. When you recite Dua Tawbah, is a repositioning of oneself for the future outset and what he or she ought to do and never go back to. So these three stages, and in the middle of these supplications, you'll find assisting supplications and assisting words of the Imams alayhim salam to build that relationship between you and Allah Azza wa Jal. I hope this is entirely clear. I don't think I can clarify it further. This is the night of power. The night of power is a new beginning. The night of power is a repositioning. The night of power is a new promise. The night of power is an engagement with Allah Azza wa Jal. The night of power is leaving behind how you were, what you were, and starting from a different point. A point that will help you and assist you to become a better you. To pursue that potential Allah Azza wa Jal put in each and every one of you. And we will never know the potential, and we will never realize the ceiling until we start pursuing bettering ourselves. In reality, if we pursue, in reality, if we try, in reality, if we achieve, we will never reach a ceiling. The ceiling will be none other than what? Our death. For it will be a transition from this life to another. Would you ever reach that ceiling? Well, how would you know if you never stop? It's very obvious, very little. But look at how it opens up to you gates of hopes and knowledge unseen before. If you don't stop, and this is, by the way, the identifying mark of a true follower of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. The followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam have characteristics. They have signs and attributes. You know them. How do I know I'm one of them? Number one, this is very important. I never ever cease to stop trying to be better. You know, some people say, Alhamdulillah, I am happy the way I am. I don't want to change. You've heard that before? Realize that one who says that is not a follower of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Because a follower of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam is continuously trying to better him or herself. There is no such thing as, I rested, Alhamdulillah, I'm done. If you're done, it means you have reached your perfection. But how do you know that you've reached it? Your perfection, if it is hinging on the knowing of Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal is the absolute infinite. It means endless. It means no end in sight. If your knowledge, If your perfection is related to Him, that means it's an endless, infinite journey. If you ever say, I stop, it means you disconnected from Allah Azza wa Jal. You always have to be continuously aiming to be better. As long as you identify yourself, Allah Azza wa Jal, what does He say? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا. He describes His servants. What does He say? وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ. This ibadah, this worship is related to Allah Azza wa Jal. You remember yesterday and the night before, we're talking about building a relationship. I want to be identified. Sometimes I'm being identified as from where I come from. Well, I come from the United States of America. Sometimes I'm identified from my origin. I am from the holy city of Najaf. Sometimes I'm identified by my family. I'm from this family, so and so. Sometimes I'm identified by a different group, or my profession, or it goes on. But what is the most important identity and the most important way you can relate to in your life is when you are named, when you are labeled, when you are called وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ. You relate to yourself to whom? None other than Allah Azza wa Jal. عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ have characteristics. Where do they find these characteristics? How do we learn to be as such? When you go, when you take a citizenship of a country, you get trained. You get classes. Here's what you need to know. Here's the information you need to know. When you go to a profession, if you become an engineer, if you become a network engineer, if you become a software engineer, if you become a doctor, what are you doing? Why do you go to school 4, 5, 7, 8 years? So you identify with the profession. So you are taught the characteristics and the skills of those who are in the profession. When you identify with Allah Azza wa Jal, what kind of characteristics should you and ought you have? Number one, you have to take, you know, every time when you go to a school, what do you have to do? You need to go take the books. You need to go and learn from the books. You need to take at least in order for you to read through the books. And this book that we have been given is to identify with our Lord. To know the characteristics that we ought to have is through the words of Allah Azza wa Jal, through the Holy Quran, which was revealed on the night of power. إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. What do you know of the night of power? We cannot fathom, we cannot comprehend that night of power. But the least, we ought to start what? Approaching the night of power differently. Dear brothers and sisters, your life is in your hand. Many people, when they find difficulties in life, they start pointing their fingers at everyone else. But they forget that finger that is pointing back at them. It all starts with you. And you need to realize, Allah says in the Holy Quran a beautiful verse, and the beauty and the power of the Quran, how it unveils you and it becomes a mirror. The beauty and power of the Quran is where? When you see yourself in the Holy Quran, when you see yourself through the words of Allah Azza wa Jal, when you understand who you are, what ought you be, it's through the words of Allah Azza wa Jal. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. La yukallifullahu nafsan illa what? Ahsantum. Allah will never give you what you cannot handle. Is this a premise or not? Just take this. Take this verse and apply it to yourself. That anything comes your way, it means what? You can handle it. Start with this premise. Isn't this empowering? Isn't this verse itself, it unveils a secret of life. It's through which we can handle anything that comes our way. What happens when someone says, oh, this is too much, I cannot handle it? You are doubting in yourself. You're not realizing the potential Allah Azza wa Jal has given you. Have you ever been coached? Those who bench press, what do? There's a coach sitting, and let's start with 100 pounds, for example. First, try it. The coach is like, try, come on, push. And he tries harder, push harder. And then the coach is just holding and helping. After trying a few times, he adds 110 now. He adds 10 more pounds. And what happens? He's building up. Now, would that person manage to go to 110 pounds if he did not go through the 100 pounds first? And trained, and exposed himself, and tried harder? So you think your coach, who is sitting and spotting you there, do you think your coach, when he is trying you with 100 pounds, he wants you to fail? Yeah, fail so we can go to 90 pounds. Do you think he wants to do that? Do you think so? No, he's giving you the 100 pounds so you can push to the next level. And what is that? The 110. And you can push so you can train yourself for the elevation to the next level. And this is life. This is the bala'. This is the test and examination. Allah Azza wa Jal says, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. To test you. This test is what? It's spotting that the coach is pushing you so you can elevate yourself to the next way, to the next number, so you can achieve the coach. Let me ask you, do you think the coach is gonna give you 110 pounds to bench when he knows you cannot handle it? No. He only gives you, the good coach does what? Gives you what you can handle. But he's trying to do what? To teach you and have you learn and realize and become more aware of what? What you can handle. What your potential is. And that is why, dear brothers and sisters, when Allah Azza wa Jal shows you and unveils to you these examinations and these testings, it's for what purpose? Because he knows it is through these examinations you will realize and become more aware of your own potential. That is why you have to be at the time of facing these difficulties someone that is joyful and glad, knowing that Allah Azza wa Jal given you this and put you in this position for what purpose? So you can be better. So you can be a different person. So you can achieve something you've never achieved before. Right or wrong? That is why when we lazy off and say, oh my God, you know, I can't handle this. If you can't, what happens to you? You just lowered your potential. You just put a ceiling when Allah didn't put a ceiling for you. Why did you put a ceiling for yourself? Who is to be blamed then? You. When you look at others and see their achievements, who is to be blamed? Don't say, I wish. No, God has given you everything. You're the one who stopped yourself. The Quran is the most empowering book you could ever find. If it is faced with what? If it is received with minds that could absorb it. The problem is not in the Holy Quran, never. The problem is in us, dear brothers and sisters. How many of us take the time? Let me give you an exam right now. Give me your undivided attention and your honesty with it too. And I know all of you are honest. And all of you, inshallah, are here to benefit from the blessings of these nights with Allah salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. How many verses does the Holy Quran has? 6,600 something, 6,600. Let's say 6,600, right? 6,600 verses. Now if I would ask any of you to relate to me an incident in your life that impacted you severely, changed the way you think, would you not recollect it in your mind? A teacher in high school, a teacher in elementary, somewhere in your schools, your father holding you from your ears and giving you a beating that woke you up because you were late one day, your mother not talking to you because you're mad and affected you. Listen, there are incidents that leave an imprint on you and change your life inside out. Right or wrong? What is the most important book in your life? Really, it's not a trick exam, or it's very simple. What is the most important book in your life? Let me hear it again.
Quran.
Louder.
Quran.
I see only this part is saying Quran. The rest, what? You have another book? El Hajji is trying to hear, promote, and say all these things. They're trying to print and deliver the Quran to every single person. So what is the most important book? Ahsantum. Now let me ask you, 6,600 verses. In your mind, this is a moment of truth. To you, in your mind, in yourselves, if it is so important, this book, how many verses you can claim have changed your life? 6,600? Okay, put that on the side. Let's say 660, that's what, 10%? 10%. Can I say I have 660 verses, when I read them, they changed who I am? 10% of the Quran? We're all smiling. Okay, let's go back to 66 verses. Can we say we have 66 verses that affected me and changed who I am? 66 verses is only 1% of the Holy Quran, dear brothers and sisters. Do you have 66 verses? If you have, I'm sure you can then tell me what it is, where it is, and what it means. Because it changed you, it affected you. You know what? Forget 0.1%. Do you have 6 verses that affected you? You know what this tells me? If you say no, and be honest to yourself, I don't want an answer that everyone hears. If you don't have 6 verses that you can recollect and say, my God, this verse changed me. It had so much impact on me. يعني not 0.1% of the Quran affected you? Which means what? This is such an important book, the most important book in my life. What's your relationship to that book then? Who are we kidding? Are we fooling ourselves? Are we in good relationship with the word of Allah Azza wa Jal? It is not enough that you just read the book with no comprehension, with no impact, with no reflection. Where is the change in behavior that the Quran is doing to us? The problem, where? Is it in the Quran or in us? Where is it? And you know what? It shows what kind of relationship you have with the Holy Quran. It shows each and every one of us, we need to re-examine. When you want to get a promotion at work, is it okay just to do your work and really the manager doesn't know what you're doing? Every time you want to make sure that your manager is what? Knows what you're doing. Knows how much time you're doing. You want him or her to see how early you come and how late you leave. Right or wrong? Billah alaikum, between you and I, have you ever like stayed after work and said, no, I want to do qurbat in Allah. I don't want my manager to see anything. Have you? You want to make sure the manager knows you're leaving 1 or 2 hours after work. You put in the time. What is that relationship you're putting with the Quran, so the Quran sees your work? On the day of judgment, can you say the Quran, wallah, I put so much time with the Quran. You're talking to Allah Azza wa Jal. This is why, dear brothers and sisters, you see many of us are at loss when explaining and understanding this world. You know why? We don't know what this world is all about. Yes, we know Quran, we know Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, we love both of them. Great. But what are they that we love? Who are they that we love? What are these words? It's like someone knowing, you know, I really need to take care of my father and mother. Fine, but why? It's the why that changes your life. Side note, do you know what you get out of taking care of your father and mother knowingly? How much blessing and what kind of effect? See, one of the wonders of the Holy Quran is that you're going to realize nothing in this world is disconnected. Everything is connected and everything you impact it. You play a role in this universe. And you have a meaning in this universe. And don't ever say, well, it's useless. It doesn't mean anything. How do you know? When you're walking, there might be a little child. When he or she sees your face with a smile, you bring hope to them. It is that hope that made this child seek becoming something in this world. It's a smile. You didn't know. And you never know, it is because of this smile that Allah Azza wa Jalla rewards you on the Day of Judgment. Your prayers, your fasting is all in one thing, one side. But it's that smile. The Quran teaches you how to care. The Quran teaches you how to relate. And you know what Dua Jawshan al-Kabir is? Dua Jawshan al-Kabir manifests what Allah is doing to you in every single way. In a thousand methods. Why? So you might think to yourself, what am I doing in return? Dua Jawshan, what it does, it shapes the human behavior. Dua Jawshan, it awakens the human soul. Dua Jawshan asks you, why? Because Dua Jawshan relates to the Holy Quran. Dua Jawshan is rooted in the Holy Quran. Dua Jawshan, the roots of Dua Jawshan is the Quran al-Kareem. All the Imams alayhi salam expounded. It's like a commentary of the Holy Quran. It's another way of looking at the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. And one of the most important attributes that we will be spending some time on it is when we say and talk about Allah's knowledge. We started yesterday. I want to continue it tonight. The beginning verse that I started with says, قُلْ إِن تُخْفُوا مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ أَوْ تُبِدُوهُ. Whether you conceal what's in your chests or reveal it. If I go, and let's say I had the power to look at anyone and see what's on his or her mind. That's amazing. Isn't this something all of us want? I mean, imagine, take a moment. You walk and you can see. Just look at anyone and you can see what's in his chest, what's going on in his mind. My God, you probably will go crazy. Right? Actually, to even take a moment and think what's going on in our own minds. You know, I want to know what's in others, I want to know what's in my mind. Subhanallah. But truly, in تُخْفُوا مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ أَوْ تُبِدُوا. See this, if you conceal or you reveal, to Allah it's one. This meaning, dear brothers and sisters, and I want you to be patient with me a little bit. We're going into a very sensitive discussion. I don't want you to misunderstand any of it here. So I will repeat it. I will change the examples. I will give you different ways so we can get the right information and understand the concept. We start with this thought. Keep this thought in your mind. That if you conceal and if you reveal, to Allah is the same. What does it mean? It means whether you're talking to me or not, let's say I had the powers to do so, it means whether you say a word, you write a book, or you stay quiet. I know your thoughts. I know you. Now imagine for a second that I really can. I mean, imagine, and I'm gonna be looking at you. And anytime I look at you, I know what you're thinking. Okay? I see a lot of smiles. It's like, oh my God, I don't want to, you know? Or some people closing their eyes. Why? No, but this is real. See, if I told you and you realize that I really know the revelation, what you reveal or what you conceal, to me it's the same. It doesn't matter. I have gone and I have penetrated all the way through the depths of your soul, and nothing to me is concealed. You are an open book. Whatever thought, whatever feeling, whatever is on your mind, is on your soul, to me is given, is shown, is seen. How do you feel towards me? How do you feel towards me? Mm-hmm. Stay away from me, huh? Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. إن تخفوا ما في صدوركم أو تبدوه يعلمه الله. God knows. ويعلم ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. And insisting here that he knows whatever is in the heavens or the earth. ما. Anything, everything. والله, see with knowledge what happens, على كل شيء قدير. Allah the Almighty is able to do anything. See how it relates? First, Allah started with what? What attribute? What capability? The all what? The all knowing. Then He pointed out to what? The all able. Would I be able to do something without knowing something? Think with me. Would I be able to do something without knowing? I say, I can do this. How could you know? How could you say I can if you don't know that you could? Right or wrong? So what comes first, knowledge or ability? Knowledge. Knowledge. But knowledge, what comes before knowledge? We see it in one of the most important verses in the Holy Quran. What do you think is the most important verse, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? What is the most important verse in the Holy Quran? Which one? Ayatul Kursi, ahsant. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayy. There is no God except He, Al-Hay, all living. Because for one to be all-knowing needs to exist, right or wrong. So look, all living, all knowing, all able. Three attributes, keep them in your mind. We will use them throughout these discussions. What are they? All living, all all, ahsantum. And you need to see, why are we doing this? I know, pay attention to this for a second. When I say He is all able, what does that mean? Period, all able. No limitations, no restrictions. Fine? And I'll address a lot of questions in the middle that would come to the mind, but let's just keep this simple. Understanding that He's all able. To know that He's all able and to talk to the all able. Two different things. I know of the all able, and when I seek Him and talk to Him and I say, Ya Qadir or Ya Qadir, I am addressing Allah, I am asking Him, I am calling Him. Ya Qadir, the all-able, listening to me. And he is what? Ya Alim. And he is what? Ya Hay. Put these three together. And I am here, and I ask him, and I say, Ya. This Ya, listen to me very carefully. All of these sessions, all the way to the night of power, is what? Is about perfecting Ya. Is about perfecting our methods, our styles, our way of saying Ya. It's about these two letters, Ya. If I say Ya Allah, but with the Ya truly munadatun lah, calling Him, my world completely changes. What happens most of the time? I say Ya, but I'm not calling Him. Who am I calling? Who am I talking to? It's like someone knocking on the door of Muhammad. But what am I saying? I am calling Ya Hassan. You are at the door of Muhammad. Call him. No. Why? Our minds are not with us. We don't know how to gather our intellect and gather our spirit and gather all what we are and address Allah. Why? Because our minds did not understand what does it mean to say Ya. It's all about this. See how simple it is? I'm going to be spending all these nights with you for this two letters. Ya. Sounds good? Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And as we're running short on time tonight, let me go to Dua Jawshan and Kabir for a little bit. If you notice Dua Jawshan al-Kabir, what does it start? Every single verse of it. With what? See how simple it is? How everything comes together? Allahumma inni as'aluka bismika ya Hannan, ya Mannan, ya Dayyan. O charitable one, O benefactor, O judge, Ya Burhan, Ya Sultan, Ya Ridwan. O proof, O sovereign, O approver, Ya Ghufran, Ya Subhan, Ya Musta'an. O forgiver, O elevated one, O helper, Ya Dhal Manni Wal Bayan. O holder of blessings and manifestations, سبحانك يا لا إله إلا أنت الغوث الغوث خلصنا من النار يا رب. Look at this following verse. يا من تواضع كل شيء لعظمته. O he before whose greatness everything bows. يا من استسلم كل شيء لقدرته. O he before whose power everything submits. يا من ذل كل شيء لعزته. O he before whose might overshadows everything. يا من خضع كل شيء لهيبته. O he before whose awesomeness everything is humbled. يا من انقاد كل شيء من خشيته. O he before whose fearsomeness everything yields. يا من تشققت الجبال من مخافته. O he before whose terribleness mountains shake. يا من قامت السماوات بأمره. O he before whose command the heavens are raised. يا من استقرت الأرضون بإذنه. O he through whose permission the earths are secured. يا من يسبح الرعد بحمده. Oh, he whose glory the thunder proclaims. يا من لا يعتدي على أهل مملكته. Oh, he who is never cruel to his subjects. Look at these subject after another. تواضع, استسلم, ذل, خضع, انقاد, تشققت. All these shows what? Humbleness to He. Humbleness to Allah Azza wa Jal. There is no exception. Allah Azza wa Jal is showing all of this, the might, the power, the ability that He has. The question is the following. Do I recognize it or not? Not recognize it, of course I do. No. You remember the first night? What did we recite?
لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته.
If we were to reveal this Quran unto a mountain, you would have seen this mountain. How?
لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا.
خَاشِعًا. This خُشُوع مُتَصَدِّعًا. It cracks.
مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ.
From the خَشْيَة of Allah. Let me ask you, dear brothers and sisters, do we really have this khashya when we recite the Holy Quran? When we hear the verses of the Holy Quran? Why is it a mountain would feel khashi'an mutasaddi'a, but our hearts are hard as a rock? Why? And then you want to see why when you say,
يا غافر الخطايا يا كاشف البلايا يا منتهى الرجايا يا مجزل العطايا يا واهب الهدايا يا رازق البرايا يا قاضي المنايا يا سامع الشكايا يا باعث البرايا يا مطلق الأسار سبحانك يا لا إله إلا أنت الغوث الغوث خلصنا من النار يا رب.
Why is it when we say all these ya's we are not moved? Our supplications are not answered. Nothing happens to us. Subhanallah. Why? It is right here. The self. You need to make the self aware. Lighten your intellect. Open up the gates for your intellect. Let it absorb.
Dear brothers and sisters, as we go in these nights, living what happened on the 10th day of Muharram, in the land of Karbala. Dear brothers and sisters, we see one of those companions of Imam Hussein, and we know the kind of companions they were. One of them, Habib ibn Mudahir, comes to Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein sees Habib. Habib starts the tears coming down from his eyes. Imam Hussein looks at Habib. Habib tells Imam Hussein, my tears are not because because I missed my family. My tears are not because I missed my children. My tears are not because I missed my home. My tears, do you want to know what the tears of Habib were for? He points out and he says, Imam Hussein, I'm crying for her. When Imam Hussein turns around, was Lady Zainab standing by the tent? Habib tells Imam Hussein, I worry for her, I cry for her. When we brought them all together, who's going to take them back? Wa Zainaba, wa Zainaba, wa Zainaba, salawat.
توجه زيارت
اللهم صل على محمد وآل